Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 46. So if you're using electronic devices, you might not be able to do this. But if you have a real Bible, take the contraption out called a pen or a pencil, and write at Psalm 46, write 2 Kings 18 and 19. So before we read Psalm 46, let's turn to 2 Kings 18 and read a little bit of the context, the historical context as to why, we know why Martin Luther wrote the hymn, but why did this psalm become this psalm? 2 Kings 18, we'll start in verse 17 for the sake of time, and we'll read probably down to verse 35. Trouble in the land of Israel, verse 17, the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. Everyone say Sennacherib. Sennacherib. He's from modern-day Mosul, would be Nineveh. It was the capital of Assyria. The king of Assyria sent Tartan, the commander-in-chief, the Rabsaris, the chief officer, and the Rabshakeh, he's the governor. He sent all the big boys. They went from Lachish with a great army against Jerusalem. They sent them to King Hezekiah. They went up and came to Jerusalem. When they had come up there, they went and stood by the aqueduct, by the upper pool, which was on the highway to the fuller's field. When they had called to the king, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to them. Then Rabshakeh, the governor, said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust?" Verse 22. "But if you say to me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places, whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem'? Now therefore I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses, if indeed you think you're able to ride and put riders on them." Verse 28. Then the governor Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and spoke, saying, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, 'Do not let Hezekiah deceive you any longer, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, "The Lord will surely deliver us." This city shall not be given into the hand of King Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah." Go down to verse 33. "Has any of the gods of the nations at all delivered its land from the hand of King Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharivim and Hena and Eva? Indeed, they have delivered Samaria from my hand. Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" Boy, what a slap in the face these boys bring, huh? So a little map here to show you that Assyria is coming from the north. Assyria is making its way across the north. They're not just wiping out, you know, Israel. They're wiping out everyone. They're becoming this great, amazing empire. They're trying to team up with the people on the right-hand side of the screen, the Moabites, the Ammonites, you know, the Edomites. They're all coming. All the ites are coming at making peace treaties with Assyria. In fact, Egypt from the south is coming up, attacking Israel. In other words, the Assyrian Empire is everywhere except for Israel. Israel's the one last stand, our last hope. And there they stand, with King Hezekiah standing for the Lord, and all armies, south, west, east, and north, are all coming at Israel. Doom is sure. In the middle of this, Psalm 46 is written. Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble." Now, as we read Psalm 46, get the ebb and flow of these verses. There's an ebb and flow going from sort of a positive, declarative statements about the character of God, and then negative statements about their place in history. There's kind of a nice ebb and flow going on. See if you can pick it up. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth is removed, the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake and it's swelling, Selah. Just got to take a break. This is overwhelming. But there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in her midst. She shall not be moved. God shall be with her just at the break of dawn. But the nations are raging. The kingdoms are moving. But he utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. It's good news. I can take a break for a moment. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Let's see what God does. This is a God who makes desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease in the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Selah is just simply time for a break. A time for a break. Either I'm overwhelmed and I need a break. Anyone feel that way sometimes? I just have to get away. Sometimes the Selah is, this is so awesome. It's so encouraging. Selah. It can mean one or the other. In this case, there's only three times Selah is used. So it's a really nice outline of the psalm. Selah is used three times. So there's really three major points in today's message. Point number one, there's no cause for fear, verses 1-3. There's no cause for fear. God is our refuge in all things. Refuge, fortress, as Martin Luther translates this, which is fine. Shelter, safe place, the hiding place. God is our refuge in all things. In fact, in all three stanzas, in all three movements, the word refuge is used. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Verse 7, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Repeated again in verse 11, God of Jacob is my refuge. Selah. God is our refuge in all things. Not only is he our fortress, our strong tower, our shelter, our safe place, but he is also our strength, oats. He is our strength to bear through all things. Supernatural strength, the same word in Psalm 8. God is so mighty and strong, he uses the little nursing infant to quell the enemy. The supernatural strength of God. He is my shelter, he is my strength, and he is called here a very present help. New King James, kind of a bad translation of very present. Very present isn't about the time that he's there, he's presently there. It's really about the quality of his help, and that is an abundance of. It isn't just a present help that he's always there. It's that he has an abundance, an ever-abundance, a superabundance of help during difficult times. This idea of help is hetzer is the word. Hetzer is a great Hebrew word used primarily 90% of the time as co-conqueror. Co-conqueror. He is the one who conquers on your behalf because you're too weak. It's okay to admit you're weak and frail, and you need a Savior to conquer on your behalf. Once we are in our own strength, then we will conquer less, correct? God is our strength. God is our help. He is our etzer. The first time this word etzer is used, ironically, is when God makes woman for man. And women are laughing. That's hilarious. The men are like, uh-oh. Yeah, when God makes man, or makes man, he makes him in his own image, takes, you know, breath in his nostrils and clay. When God makes woman, he takes the rib and he calls her helper, etzer. Woman, you, not woman like that. I didn't mean that. Woman, I didn't mean that at all. When God makes woman, he says, woman, you are etzer. You are co-conqueror. That is, here's a guy here that I made who is insufficient without you. He cannot do life without you. And in fact, you're going to come to his rescue. You will be his co-conqueror through life. The things that he cannot do, you will do because you're so strong and mighty. You are that helper for him. Adam's like, yeah, you got that right. I definitely can't do all that. I definitely need the co-conqueror. It's interesting, 90% of this word, hetzer, is used for the character of God coming to Israel's behalf. It's David crushing Goliath, right? Standing up for the nation of Israel, in which Israel could not crush Goliath. David is the hetzer, the co-conqueror, in which comes to the rescue on Israel's behalf. God comes to Israel's rescue on Israel's behalf because Israel cannot. Woman is created to come to the rescue of man when he lacks, because he lacks. God is our ever abundant conqueror in times of deep, deep trouble. There's an admission here that one needs help because he's a very present, ever abundant help in times of trouble, which means we are in trouble a lot and we need his help. So there must be an admission that we need his help. Therefore, verse 2, we will not fear. Those are wonderful, positive qualities to start this wonderful psalm. Our refuge, our strength, our help, and we need not to fear, although, verse 2, here's the negative part. The earth removed, the mountains are carried in the midst of the sea, the waters roar, trouble all along the way, mountains shake with swelling. The mountain, the earth, the seas are all in an uproar. These are all metaphors for Assyria coming over the north. The mountains are shaking. The earth is in an uproar. The seas, you can just feel everything crumbling. There's some really awesome movies that depict, sort of fantasy movies, if you will, that depict the wonderful characteristic of the earth being removed and the seas coming in. So the one of the pictures, you notice like the soldier with the sea of armies. And you're just like, Frodo, I think we're going to die. There's this overwhelming nature that this is it. We will never see the tower. I'll never be able to put the ring in wherever it's supposed to go. We're done. The next picture shows this like amazing army coming in against the castle. There's no hope, right? There's no hope. Well, there's well over 250,000 Assyrians coming over the embankment of little old Israel. Tiny little Israel, the size of the state of New Jersey. And we have 250,000 Assyrians coming over the north. And then we have 150,000 or so Moabites and Ammonites and Edomites coming from the east. And we have hundreds of thousands of Egyptians who feigned peace treaty, all to stab them in the back. There are literally a million plus people coming on little old Israel from all sides. The mountains are roaring. The earth is being removed. The sea is just like roaring and troubling. Selah! Ah! It's like Selah! I know I'm not supposed to fear. I know that he's my present help. I know that he's my strength. I know I shouldn't fear. But look at this! Ah! Selah! Verse 4, but there's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Back to positive, I like this. So while the waters are roaring, while the mountains are being shaken and the earth seemingly being removed, there is a stream, a river, right from God's presence that will make us glad. This river is like, this is like a moat. And you're right in the middle. Oh, yeah. I'd rather be there than the other pictures, wouldn't you? Oh, my goodness. Be right in the center right there. Jesus, be the center. Yeah, that's where I want to be, right there. And God puts this river around us. He surrounds the people of God. He calls us a city. He calls us a holy place. His tabernacle, His presence is with us. And He's going to surround the land with His river of peace. Do you need that today? Do you feel overwhelmed by things in your life? It might not be the enemy like the Assyrians. God forbid you have Assyrians in your life. But the things that so trouble you, the things that cause you so much angst and worry and fear and heartache, this is where you live in God's economy. You're a city of God in which you dwell in the middle of His river of peace that surpasses all understanding. And that gives you so much gladness because there's no fiery arrow that can go across God's moat. There's this river amidst all of the turmoil who will make us glad. Yes, we're called the city of God, the holy place of God's presence, the Most High. God is in the midst of her, us, and she, us, will not be moved. God will help her, Etzer, just at the break of dawn. Oh, I wish it didn't say that little phrase. I want God to help me every time I need help in the moment. And the writer goes out of his way to say, you know what? Just at the break of dawn, I'm going to come and help. You need to put your trust in me every step along the way because you know I'm going to be your help. You just don't know when I'm going to be your help. So you just trust me every step, and I guarantee you I will be your refuge. I will be your strength. I will be your help. But it's on my time, not yours. At the break of dawn, at the crack of dawn, have you driven and you kind of see, like, I think it's getting lighter out, but I don't see the sun yet. Have you driven there before? You're like, or have you waken up and you're like, with Folgers in your cup, and you're like, I'm just gonna like see the sunrise. You're like, it's dark, 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 and your eyes kind of get adjusted, and all of a sudden it feels lighter to you. I can see my hand. And then there's that little sun that comes over. Oh, it's so red. It's so beautiful. But you wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. Sometimes trouble is like that. It just feels like there's no end to trouble. But there is. But it may come just at the break of dawn. And you got to wait on the Lord and be patient. He is our refuge and strength and help in times of trouble. We don't need to fear, even though the earth is mountains and the sea, they're being carried into the midst of the sea. We are in a place where God makes us glad. We are in His presence, surrounded by this beautiful river of peace. Yes, verse 6, the nations are raging. The kingdoms are being moved. But He utters His voice and the earth melts. He utters His voice. It's just simply, He just whispers. He just barely opens His mouth and speaks, and the earth. Ooh. Have you seen these cool little YouTube videos? It's just random, right? You put, I would like to see butter melt. Put a little pot of butter, and it just goes to nothing, right? God utters His voice. Nothing. Earth melts away. The nations are raging. The kingdoms are moved. Interesting that we don't really pick this up in the New King James very well. In verse 2, it says that the earth is being removed. All these troops are coming. The mountains are being carried into. This word carried is the same word as in verse 6, where the kingdoms are moved, carried about. Same Hebrew word. And verse 5, we shall not be moved. See, twice. So three Hebrew words here. And unfortunately, New King James doesn't pick it up well. The mountains are being carried. The mountains are just being destroyed. And the kingdoms are moving. They're destroying. But we will not be moved. Everything's moving around us. Everything's moving about us. We have so much peace and contentment. We are immovable because of the character of God. He simply utters His voice and the earth melts. Nations are raging. Kingdoms are moving. But verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts, the all-powerful one, Lord of Sabaoth, not Lord of Sabbath, right? He is the Lord of the Sabbath, but Lord of Sabaoth. Sabaoth is the name for thousands upon thousands of angels. God has in His dispense tens of thousands of angels, if God's voice wasn't enough where he could just utter a word and the entire earth melts, if that wasn't enough, he's got tens upon tens, thousands of angels in which he can summon at any given time. He is the all-powerful one. He is the Lord of hosts. And by the way, this all-powerful one, he's with us. You know, when I was a little kiddo, and I'd run around, have a lot of energy, and my dad says, take my hand. I'm like, so I kind of take his hand, but then you kind of squirrel out of it, and you just keep running. And then there's a time where dad takes your hand. You're not moving, right? I mean, I'm so glad that I'm just not holding on to God, but God's holding on to me, because he doesn't let go. See, I try to hold on to God in my strength, and I get distracted. Oh, there's shiny something. There I go running. Wham, get back here. And then there's times where it's like you feel the presence of your Father, and he says, you're not going anywhere. You have to trust me. I'm so glad that God holds your hand, and not just us holding God's hand. He is this awesome, powerful God, and he's with you. He is the God of Yaakov. He is the God of Jacob. He's the God who has always existed. That's why the God of Jacob is so important here. Not only am I all powerful, but I've always existed. You can trust me today because I was the same God of the God of Jacob. Did that turn out okay for Jacob? Should we rehearse his life in Genesis? I think he relatively made it through okay with God's help. He's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And if God can work in them, he can work through me. And he's the eternal one. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. We don't then need to fear. He is our fortress. He's our refuge. He's our shelter. He's our safe place. The eternal one is always holding your hand. The powerful one is the one whom you seek refuge. Selah. Rest in it. Take comfort in it. He's with us. The sound of his voice, everything melts. So, verse 8, come, behold, see the works of the Lord. You know, he encourages us to actually see what God is doing. So let me tell you what I'm going to do. Come, behold, see the works. I've given you instructions. I'm your refuge. I'm your strength. I'm your help. I'm your source of gladness and peace. I will protect you. I'm the all-powerful one. I'm the eternal one. Trust me. So you come in and peer in and see the works that I'm going to do. That's pretty positive. So here's kind of the negative, even though it's positive. It's God's judgment. But it has a definitely negative tone because God's going to do something about it. God is the one in verse 8. He has made desolations in the earth. He makes the wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This be still and know that I am God is not referring, in my view, to the Christian or to the believer. He is speaking to the unsaved enemy who is going to have his way. The Lord is going to do these awesome works. He's going to make wars cease. He is going to make the powerful powerless. He's going to cut the bow in two. He's going to rip the spear. He is going to burn the chariot. And then he speaks to these enemies. And he says, be still. The Hebrew word for be still is not go into some Zen yoga place in your life. It doesn't mean relax. It means stop, forsake, leave, restrain, let go, drop it, subside, or else. Come, behold the works of the Lord. I'll cut the spear in two. I'll break the bow. I will burn the chariot so you stop what you're doing, or your doom is sure. Stop. And know this, I'm God, not you. Oh, you think you're so powerful with all your hundreds of thousands of chariots and people and things? Not a chance. You better run now. Stop. Forsake what you're doing. Leave. I'm God. I'm exalted over all kingdoms, over all nations, and while I'm at it, I'm exalted all over the earth too. God's going to get the final say, isn't he? He tells the enemy, you can be all powerful all you want, but at the end of the day, you better be still. You better drop it. You better forsake. You better abandon. You better leave. Because he is God. He will be exalted over everything. And the confidence then in verse 11, here it is again, repeated from verse 7. The Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, yes, the all-powerful one is with you. The God of Jacob, the eternal one, yesterday, today, and forever, he's your fortress, he's your strength, he's your shelter. Trust him. We have confidence in him. We don't have to control anything. If you want to show a break between verse 9 and 10, and in your heart of hearts, think so strongly that be still and know that I'm God is for you as a believer, then if that is so, then you got to make sure you understand in its context that it also means the same thing. Stop it. Drop it. Forsake it. Trust him. You have no business controlling, being in control of your anger, being in control of your... You have to let all of that go. If you really want verse 10 to be for you, which I don't think it is, but you could word it that way. If you do, you still have to let the word mean the word, which means you can't fear. You have to give up your control. There's no cause for fear. There's no cause for sadness because he is this wonderful moat around you. And there's no cause for you to be in any control over anything. I maintain that this is a verse for the enemy. You better stop what you're doing or else. But if you want to apply this, then you need to do the same thing in your life. Stop. Stop, drop, and roll, right? Can't help but think about that. Stop. Stop your trouble. Stop your anxiety. Stop your cares of the world. It's not worth it. He's got everything under control. He's the Lord of hosts. He is the God of Yaakov. He is with you. He is your fortress. He is your strength. Do you want to hear the rest of the story? Turn to 2 Kings, verse 19. No, 2 Kings 19, verse 35. 2 Kings 19:35. Should we read the rest of the story? How does this end? And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out. The Lord of hosts calls the angel of the Lord. This could be Jesus, the angel of the Lord. It could be the angel of the Lord, the messenger, the great messenger Jesus, calling the heavenly host, the angel of death, to come into the Assyrian camp. It could be Jesus himself, or it could be those heavenly hosts that Jesus calls down. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 troops. And when people arose early in the morning, early in the morning, just at the break of dawn, they wake up thinking they're going to be destroyed. And just at the break of dawn, there were their corpses, all dead. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. And the story goes on where somebody murders him. God wins. God always wins. He always wins. He's our refuge, our strength, our help. He's the Lord of hosts. He is all-powerful. He makes war cease. He makes the powerful powerless. He gives us peace. He's always with us. He holds our hand. He gives our lives purpose. We have a hope. We have a future. He makes us glad, and we exalt him. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. On earth, there is no equal. Lord Sabaoth is his name, from age to age the same, and he will win the battle. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Psalm 46. In the midst of all of the anxiety, the hurt, the worries that the people of Israel had. You come to their rescue. You are the great Lord of hosts who comes and is our refuge. Selah, may we just soak and rest in gladness today that you are a great, great God. We have no cause for worry, no cause for concern. Kings and kingdoms will bow down to you. And it's going to be at the break of dawn. We might not even be able to see it. We don't know. We're going to be sleeping at the time, and we put our trust in you. And at that break of dawn, we're going to see you work all powerfully. We're going to trust you. You are the great Lion of God. You will come to our rescue. You will save us. You will deliver us. You will be our shelter, our fortress. For that, we praise you, praise you, praise you. Now we're going to sing a few songs and just worship in response to our great God, who will quell the enemy, who will give us comfort, who will make us glad. And as we respond to you, God, may it put a smile on your face. We're just frail humans, and we say Selah sometimes because we're so worried and concerned. Selah, we're so sorry. We don't know what's happening. But in the end, we are a city of God, a people of your name. Then you just make us so full of peace and gladness. We thank you and we worship you for your great, great character, the strength, the patience, the peace that overwhelms us. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship together.